The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And so if the truth sets you free, then lies and deceptions keep you in bondage. And many times what I've seen is that once a believer experiences deliverance, just like your own story, then you begin to lead other people into deliverance. Once you get set free, you want to lead other people into that. So it's like a chain reaction.
Jake Cale equips everyday Christians to start casting out demons and setting captives free. Next.
It's an understatement to say these are very important times. Betty, we are living in an age of deception.
Yes.
And the father of lies is Satan. But one of the things people don't realize is that the liar has millions of angelic servants, demonic angels, anything but angels in our sight. They are deceivers like the father of lies. I have a guest today that discovered what I discovered years ago. Maybe we discovered it about the same time, maybe he a little bit behind, but he also had heard of Milton Green, who prayed for me and for deliverance, Betty, that we didn't even as very dedicated Baptists seem to think about demons or talk about them. I don't know if we afraid we were going to scare them or they'd bother us if we didn't talk about them. Maybe they wouldn't bother us, but they bother us. They are deceiving spirits. Well, I have a guest that really did find the truth about setting captives free from demonic power. His name is Jake Cale. And Jake, we are glad to have you here.
James, Betty, thanks so much. It's great to be here. It's an honor.
You did not have much time to think about demons. You said you went to a church that believed that even the gifts of the Spirit and many of the miraculous things that the church did in the New Testament had sort of passed away. They had the secession, it was over, they don't do it anymore. And okay, what happened to you?
Yeah, so I grew up in a great Christian family. My parents got saved when I was about 2 years old, went to a great church, Bible-believing church, but did not believe, like you said, in the gifts of the Holy Spirit or healing or deliverance, wasn't at all part of the upbringing. And so for me, I always considered myself a believer, but when I was in sixth grade, I got exposed to pornography, and then I got drawn into drinking and just party lifestyle, all that type of thing, all the while saying, yeah, I'm a Christian, you know, going to church, but just not really living it, not really understanding the true power of the gospel to walk in freedom and transformation. And so I was kind of living my life this way, kind of a nominal believer. And then when I went to college, it just kind of got worse because now my parents weren't watching over me. And so just went right into the party lifestyle, just drinking, getting drunk, sexual sin, but then going to Bible study on Thursday nights and not even thinking anything of it because I was deceived. Like you said, I mean, that's the nature of sin. That's the nature of the enemy. He's very deceptive. And so going to church, going to Bible study, but living just like the world. And then it all kind of came to a head. At the end of my freshman year, I was at this retreat with a campus ministry. And that's when the Holy Spirit really began to convict me and draw me to this place of deep repentance, where I just began to see my sin for what it was and drew me to this place of true surrender and just encountered the love of God, encountered a deep repentance, but also through this encounter was radically set free. And there was bondages in my life, lust and immorality, drinking, even anger issues. God just completely broke the chains in that encounter.
And how did you connect that to demonic activity in your life?
And well, the thing was, at the time, I didn't know to connect it at the time, because in my mind, it was just, well, this is what God does when people, you know, come to know him in repentance. I didn't at that point understand the demonic side of it, but then God began to lead me on this journey. I was hungry. I began to devour the scriptures. I began to read the gospels, and I read these stories, and I see Jesus casting out demons. And I'm like, oh, I've never seen this before. And, you know, how come I've never seen this? I've been going to church. And then God began to open my eyes up. And it actually started with a dream I had. I had this very vivid dream, and I was actually in a buffet, an all-you-can-eat buffet, and there was a demonized person who came up to me in the dream, and I felt the power of God just like well up in me. And I began to command the demon to come out, and this guy got delivered And I woke up and I was like startled. I was like, whoa, what was that about? And I was actually afraid. Like, what if I have to do this in real life? Like, what if I actually meet this person? Because I had no understanding of this because of my background. But then God began to teach me through his word, through scriptures, through some resources I came across. And he began to show me how relevant this whole area of deliverance is and how it's pretty common for people to need deliverance from demonic influence, and just kind of thrust me into it from there. So
I think people don't realize that Satan is one person, one place at a time.
Right.
But he has millions of these angelic spirits, these demonic spirits, and they are deceiving spirits.
Yes.
And one of the most profound things that Milt Green said to me, and he prayed for me, just asked me to sit down and pray for me, because he said, I think you're the most tormented person I've ever followed for several years as a very well-known preacher, but you're tormented, and I feel sorry for you. I've prayed for you for years, and I'd like you to let me pray for you. And he started praying for me in a Holiday Inn room, but he was talking to the devil, and he was telling all kinds of spirits to get out of here. And I'm thinking, dear God, I'm in the room of Milton. He's talking to the devil, and I'm the only one here. People are going to think I'm crazy. Well, when he got through, he said, well, how you feel? I said, great. Now that, you know, I wanted to say, now that you quit praying. And I was really puzzled by it, but he had commanded spirits to loose me, and he called them by name.
Yeah.
He, lust, you addressed that a moment ago. And there were so many things that he called out. And I had told Betty that I was so tormented, Betty, with lust and distraction and just, let's say, unhealthy attractions to things that became a distraction that were damaging. And I actually prayed. I was so tormented that you'd pray I'd die in my sleep.
Yeah.
And I said, it's like there's a grip on my brain. And this is maybe a week or so later, I wake up early in the morning and I'm crying.
Wow.
And Betty says, honey, what's wrong? I said, Betty, it's gone.
Wow.
It's gone. She said, what? I said, that claw in my brain is gone.
Wow.
And I realized that God heard Milt, and those spirits released me and commanded to turn me loose. And they did. Well, immediately I became interested, and so I started learning and sharing. And I began to see thousands and thousands of people set free.
Wow.
It was an amazing thing. Now, I believe the church, as our country, is deeply deceived.
Mm-hmm.
I believe these demonic spirits are deceiving people. And one of the most powerful sentences that Milt said to me, and to everybody he talked to, he said, your thoughts, many of your thoughts are not your own. In other words, they're being put there. They are suggestions from the deceiver and the deceiving spirits.
Yes.
You bear witness with that?
Absolutely.
That's it. Isn't that what they do?
Absolutely. I mean, Jesus said you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And so if the truth sets you free, then lies and deceptions keep you in bondage. And I mean, you can even see with Judas, right, when he betrayed Jesus, it actually says the devil put it into the mind, put it into the heart of Judas to betray him. So even that thought, even that desire or that thought to betray Jesus, the devil himself planted it in his heart. And so, yeah, not every thought that we have is our own. Sometimes people are battling with thoughts that they think are just their own thoughts. Maybe it's tormenting fears. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's bitterness. And yes,
unforgiveness.
Absolutely.
Biggie.
Absolutely. And obviously we still have the flesh. We still have to overcome the flesh and walk in the spirit, but not every thought we have is our own. Absolutely true.
A lot of times, too, I think this is a ploy of the enemy. He wants to keep you deceived in the fact that you don't really know what's coming at you. You don't know what's causing
yes.
it or who's causing it. Because I was a good little Baptist, you know, but I was covered in fear.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kept me from serving him and loving him and doing what he had for my life, because I was just eat up with it.
Yes.
Fear, didn't want to look to the right or the left, or, you know, didn't know what to do. So I just wanted to be still and be quiet. Maybe nobody, maybe whoever wouldn't notice, you know.
Right.
And I could see all the trouble that James felt in his heart, but I didn't know how to help him.
Yep.
So we need to identify
absolutely
who it is coming after
That's
us.
That's right. I mean, I found that many people are struggling with issues, whether it's torments, oppressions, bondages, and they just think they're going to live that way the rest of their life. Mm-hmm. They think it's just who they are. They think it's their personality. Maybe they grew up that way. Maybe mm-hmm. it's part of their family culture, and they don't even realize what they're battling is demonic influence
That's right.
and evil spirits.
Well, I think because we don't understand that you don't have to go through some kind of a strange, approach to getting rid of demons. I remember I had dogs chasing my car every time I would leave a place, and they would chase me all the way out to the gate, to the road. And I just got so tired of it, I slammed on the brakes, threw the door open, hoping one of the dogs would bang into it, you know, to stop him. But I threw the door open, and I said, "Stop it, get out of here." And God said, "You speak to the enemy like that, and he'll stop it. You resist him, you rebuke him, and he will listen." And I found out that you can command the enemy. That's what we we don't have to make this something spooky. Mm-hmm. We don't have to make it something we're afraid to talk about or we wouldn't want to get into.
Yep.
And that is what Milt helped me, and it's what I see you doing in what you're sharing. You can command. We as believers can get together. You could ask a friend, "Would you please take authority over this tormenting spirit?"
Right.
It's a spirit. You need to recognize these are tormenting angels. They're not angels. They're spirits. They're fallen.
Right.
Demonic angels that went with Satan, a third of the host of heaven, and you can command them, you can order them, and we can come together in agreement. I prayed for thousands of people who would come forward who'd been carrying burdens all their life, and I would speak to those spirits, and you would hear sometimes people would cry out or even drop to the floor when it released them. You could see the manifestations.
Yep.
You know, Jesus doesn't necessarily let a demon manifest. I have found that they manifest most often when they got a host of people that don't want to believe in demons. Mm-hmm. Well, then all of a sudden they'll get to manifest to show you that this is not just some kind of foolish thing that the Christians are trying to do. This is what I told you to do. I tell you, command them, command the evil spirits. You can take authority over
them.
That's right. And it, to me, this is what you're sharing. What do you want Christians to hear? What do you want people to hear and listen even now as we're sharing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I believe we're in a time where the need for the ministry of deliverance is greater than it's ever been in this nation. And it's just, you know, I want people to know that, yes, the devil's real. Yes, demonic influence is real, but Jesus is still the deliverer. And so he came to set captives free. He gave the church the tools. He gave the church the authority. I think that's the word that you were describing earlier is authority. And so he told the church, he said, "These signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons." And so that's what you described, that authority to make commands. And I believe that as we see more and more people and more believers, more and more churches just embrace this call as part of the gospel. It's not the whole gospel, but it's a key part of the gospel. And as we see the church embrace this, then we'll see many more people set free. And as more people are set free, it sets families free. It sets nations, you know, in the nation free. As we one by one, we see churches embrace it. We see believers embrace it. And they get set free. They get established in freedom. And many times what I've seen is that once a believer experiences deliverance, just like your own story, then you begin to lead other people into deliverance. Once you get set free, you want to lead other people into that. And so it's like a chain reaction.
Would you agree that if our nation does not change direction and stop believing the deceiver and living with the deception of the enemy prevailing in their life, prevailing in our communities, in our cities and states, and in our nation, sadly, and all over the world. And we are seeing that right now. But if we will recognize, I am hearing sounds, thoughts, suggestions that are of another source.
Right.
The deceiver.
Yeah.
I'm being deceived. And I can take authority, and others can gather with me, and believers can take authority over the lying spirit, over the spirit of vengeance or hate or bitterness and unforgiveness. I can be delivered from that. Do you believe that the church is the only source and the only force on this earth that can correct the course by exposing the deceiver and the deceiving spirits and telling people to cry out to the Father and to the deliverer to deliver them and even get someone to agree with them?
Yeah.
I believe right now, if you're listening and watching us, you could call the prayer line that's there. You see that number? And you could say, "Would you agree with me I know this has got me. There's a grip here. It's misery. It's just, Betty said she had a spirit of fear, and she did. And I watched God deliver her. She also had a spirit of timidity. Mm-hmm. She had no self-confidence. And you can see what God has done in her. And this was a part of deliverance for her. You could call and say, would you agree with me? And they will. They will agree. And you rebuke that spirit together. Do you believe that if the church would do what Jesus told us to do, fulfill His commission, mm-hmm. cast out demons, tell them where to go, tell people that they can have help, and we don't have to make it spooky, we don't have to build it up.
Yep.
You can just command, just like I commanded those dogs, stop it.
Yep.
And He said, you tell the enemy, you resist like that and watch what happens. Do you believe we could turn the tide in this country?
I do. I this is a real pivotal time in the nation, like you said, and it really, we are, I think, due for a great awakening and revival. And I believe that deliverance is going to be a key part of that revival, because there's so much torment, there's so much deception, there's so much oppression, there's so much trauma, stuff that people are walking out of. So the church needs to be the answer. The church needs to be equipped. The church is the salt of the earth. And so as the church turns, I believe then the nation can turn. And so absolutely.
Are you going now and like speaking in different cities and churches? How would people get a hold of you? What address or online, where would they go?
Yeah, I am. I'm traveling and speaking. And the best way is my website, which is just my name, jakekale.com. So that's the easiest way to find me. Lots of resources and all my events are on there as well. Books.
I would like to give everybody that would like to have your book, and it is so well written, it's so clear. It is simple, but it's powerful, transforming truth. And I would like you to get it. We help the least of these. Our viewers, they want to put God's loving arms around the most overlooked people on the planet, mm-hmm. the forgotten people, truly the least of these that Jesus talked about. And we're going to feed the hunger. 350,000 children that we have found, desperate need. I'm going to ask our viewers to help us feed them. And if they'd like to have your book as a gift, you just do anything you can to help. We have some other gifts to offer you because we always want to bless you. But I know this is important right now in the life of our nation, in your life perhaps, in your family, and all over the world. I want you to listen to the son of our mission director that oversaw all of Africa, and we've saved millions of lives from starvation. We've given millions of people fresh water. We have set captives free where they were in sexual trafficking. This is what our viewers do. And I want to ask you right now to listen to the son of our mission director, Peter Pretorius. This is Isaac. He's talking to mothers in South Sudan, one of the hardest hit, most tormented area on this earth, where we have put the arms of God around people because of you. Listen to Isaac talking to mothers in the very areas where, with your help, we're going to save lives. Mm-hmm. Watch prayerfully.
Wow. Wow, and this lady, two children. She's also two children. Wow. Yeah. So we're here at one of our clinics in South Sudan, in an area called Boma. And we've got women here that have gathered here at the clinic, and we've been talking to them. I asked them a question. I asked them to raise their hand if they had lost a child. I asked them then to indicate with their hand raised on their fingers how many children they had lost. Some of the ladies, it was one. Other ladies, a number of them, showed two children they'd lost. Children that they'd lost just because of food. The question was simply related to food. And that is why when we say to you that there is a food crisis happening here, a food insecurity crisis that is happening here in South Sudan, not just in Boma. We've traveled around to multiple villages here. We've spoken to mother after mother. This is a crisis. But you know, in great times of crisis comes the opportunity to do great things. And I want you to know today that this is one of those opportunities for good people to do something, and we have to do something. We have to step into this crisis and we have to do something great, something above and beyond. Beyond what we would normally do. Why? Because that's what crisis calls for, and this is a crisis of lives, children's lives. And so I'm asking you from the bottom of my heart today, I'm appealing to you to join hands and hearts with us. You don't have to come to South Sudan. You don't have to be the feet or the hands that make this happen. We'll do that for you. But what we need you to do is we need you to give the very best gift that you can give today, because that gift will literally be a gift of life.
Dear God, how can we look at a mother that's lost a child or several, a grandparent, and not care when we can change it? In Jesus' name, would you please? We did lose a daughter, Betty. We've lost some grandbabies in miscarriage and one stillborn, and it's just hard to bear. But right there where you saw those mothers, these children are just dying in a continuous stream, and it can be turned around immediately. And that's what our viewers do.
Absolutely. It's your heart that counts. Let God speak to your heart and show you what He would like you to contribute to helping these precious little ones. They need food. They need love. They need care. Their mothers want to provide for them, and they can do that through our heart, through our giving. So please join with us and let God tell you exactly how much He wants you to help, and do it today.
Well, you know, we're beginning right now the next emphasis on feeding for the next several weeks. 350,000 hungry children we have found where the missionaries have located. The serious situation. But you're the only ones that can give the missionaries and those mission workers the ability to meet the need. And that's what we're asking you to do. Now think about this. $30, $50, or $100 feeds 3, 5, or 10 children. Please think on the upper end. I mean, if there's any way that you can feed 10 children with $100, would you do it? Some of you could give 1,000 and multiply that by 10. Whatever you can do, please, right now, ask God to lead you. We have some gifts to send you. We're going to send all of you who just make any gift, setting captives free. I think it'll be such a blessing to you and people you care about. And it's the only hope for our nation, is to get free from the deception of the father of lies and these seducing spirits that are putting lies in the minds of people, and those lies are prevailing. We've got to set people free. But if you love God, you're going to reach out to put arms around the least of these. When you notice the least of these, Jesus said, "You are truly my family. You're my sheep." Would you right now, would you go get your bank card? Would you use it like a check? Call the number, go online. If you want to write a check, make it to Life. But we need to hear from you. We need to know that we can count on you to help us feed these precious children and their families, 350,000 of them. Could you help 10? 5? Surely you could help 3. Please, right now, make the best gift you can. You're giving life. That's the greatest gift.
Right now, across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. Extreme drought and famine, putting at risk thousands of lives, means we must replenish food supplies immediately to keep feeding 350,000 children and help reach more people in desperate need. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send the Daily Life Devotional Calendar. This perpetual calendar has 365 days worth of scriptures and inspirational thoughts to remind you of the rest you can find in God's loving arms. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the Light of Life desk lamp. Find comfort and encouragement from Jesus' words in John 8:12, displayed on this standalone acrylic desk lamp, perfect for home or office decor, as a reminder that Jesus is the light of the world. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, A Cup of Water. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
You know, South Sudan today is not at war. And yet, there is still a war going on here. The war to be able to provide the nutrition that children need, because there's areas like this where we're engaging with mothers who are telling us how their children literally are suffering from malnutrition on an ongoing basis, how more than 25% of the mothers here are testifying to the fact that they've lost one or more children as a result of malnutrition, and some of them even just pure starvation. That's the war that currently rages here, and that's what we've got to continue to be able to impact. We've got to meet the crisis need for food, because food is what these families in this area need right now. But if we're not able to feed them while we get there, then many more children's lives will be lost. And that's why we ask you to partner with us in direct food response, to provide mission feeding to these areas, because that is what is needed most right now. So please just dial that number on your screen right now and give that gift. Give that gift of life. Maybe you want to give online. However you choose to give, you give that way. But I'm just asking you today to give the very best gift, because that gift will bring life.
Thank you so much. Do you realize that you may have given a mother the answer to her greatest hope and prayer, given her the life of a child, or maybe several? Glad to send you the book, Setting Captives Free. Jake and I are going to talk tomorrow. He's going to tell us how you do take authority and how you recognize if demonic assault is a problem to you, and how you deal with it, and how you can help others deal with it. So don't miss tomorrow. We have other gifts, you know, we always tell you. We offer them to you to bless you and inspire you in your life. Thank you for giving life. That's what we do every day on Life Today. But it's because of our viewers that we're able to share His life and His love so freely. Thank you from the bottom of our heart. Don't miss tomorrow.
For over 60 years, Life Outreach International has shared the transforming truth of God's love in both word and deed. Our ministry to the lost and hurting is only made possible because of the prayers and generous gifts of our friends and partners who provide consistent, faithful support. Call now or go online to become a friend for life. Your monthly support will help us continue to bring God's love, hope, and healing to a world in need. One life at a time.
And I think it's great to also understand that deliverance, it's not meant to be an end in itself. It's actually meant to be a beginning.
Getting established in freedom tomorrow.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.